I'm Matt McCleskey with WAMU News. Prince George's County Executive Rushern Baker said this week he is running for governor of Maryland, joining two other Democratic contenders, former NAACP President Ben Jealous and tech entrepreneur Alec Ross.
I'm Rushern Baker, and I'm running for governor to build a future that works for all of us.
I heard the call to return to public service, and I felt the need to find more transformative ways to serve my community.
I'm running for governor to fight for Maryland values and stand up to Trumpism.
State Senator Richard Mattolino has also said he'll run, and several other Democrats have indicated they're at least interested in seeking their party's nomination to challenge incumbent Republican Governor Larry Hogan. And joining me now for a look at the week in politics and a business plan to fix Metro is the Washington Post's Robert McCartney. Good morning.
Good morning, Matt.
Rushern Baker's announcement this week wasn't unexpected, but in a lot of ways it defines the landscape of this race going forward.
Yeah, well, he's the candidate with the most executive experience, two terms as county executive in Prince George's. He served in the state legislature before that. So he starts out with that edge in the Democratic primary. He can fairly claim that he's improved Prince George's image after replacing a guy who went to jail on corruption charges. Disadvantages for Baker: he's not that well known outside the D.C. suburbs. And former NAACP chairman Ben Jealous will probably cut into Baker's potential base in the African-American community in Baltimore.
And, of course, we'll keep an eye on this in coming weeks and months should other Democrats choose to get into that race. The election in Maryland is next year, of course. Virginia, though, has a gubernatorial election this year. And we saw some new polling numbers this week that, at least for now, look pretty favorable for Democrat Ralph Northam. Where does he stand in relation to Republican Ed Gillespie?
Right. Well, according to this new poll from Quinnipiac, Northam's got an 8-point lead over Gillespie in the governor's race. You know, I said last week I thought the Democrats were starting out with an advantage, and this poll confirms that. But it's a long way till November. The polls, you know, were very far off in Virginia for the primary. So you got to take them with a grain of salt to some extent. Also, even this poll found that nearly 4 in 10 voters said they were too unfamiliar with the candidates to make an opinion. I actually thought in this Quinnipiac poll that the most interesting thing that came out had to do with the House of Delegates race. You know, all 100 seats are up in the House of Delegates. And this poll found that voters want the Democrats to retake control of the House by a 7-point margin. Now, the Republicans have a very large majority, almost 2-1 there. But if this current attitude holds, then presumably the Democrats could chip away quite a bit at that GOP majority in the House, and maybe, you know, it would be a real long shot, but maybe even have a slim chance of regaining control.
And we'll be talking about this a lot more between now and the election in November. While we're talking now, though, about governors and people who want to be governors, there's a proposal in D.C. to call Washington's mayor a governor. Council members would be representatives in the legislative assembly, and it would change the District of Columbia to Douglas Commonwealth. The idea is to reinvigorate statehood efforts, but would changing these names and titles really change anything?
Well, it would call attention to the issue. I think that that's the main goal here. I mean, this is an idea born of desperation. There's no chance of getting statehood for the district right now with the Republicans controlling both houses of Congress and the White House. So people are looking to do something to keep the issue alive. This is an unusual proposal. It's from Councilmember David Grosso. But, you know, it's got support from 5 other council members. So that's almost a majority of the council. The risk is that it would just invite ridicule. And in that case, it would backfire.
And when you're calling something something it's not, at least not yet. Finally, a quick update on Metro. You and I have talked a lot about how having so many different jurisdictions and groups weighing in on the transit agency and its future makes it really hard to fix things and to figure out funding going forward. But this week, we did see some agreement, at least in the business community. Is this a positive step?
Well, it's a very positive step for sort of generating momentum towards getting some reforms. You know, the business community in the Washington area has been divided over what to do about Metro. Like a lot of the jurisdictions, a lot of the political people, a lot of the activists, there's just people are all over the map on what they wanted to do. So the business community didn't like being divided. So 21 chambers of commerce signed on to a letter, really represented a compromise. They're calling for dedicated funding, which is no big surprise, and also restructuring the board. I mean, they want the board of directors to function, to be smaller and to function more like a corporate board, be less influenced by political considerations, sort of make the tough decisions to cut costs, et cetera. And really, the heavyweights are involved here. I mean, the Greater Washington Board of Trade, the Federal City Council, the 2030 Group, they spearheaded this, and chambers of commerce across the region signed on.
A lot to keep an eye on with Metro as well, of course, going forward. For today, Washington Post senior regional correspondent Robert McCartney, thanks as always for joining us.
Good to be here.